invested in you that before you got saved and after you got saved, part of me is in you. It's not the part that saved you, but it's a part of me that cares about you dearly. He's saying that's why we exhorted you and comforted and charged, not some. What's it say? Every one of you. He's saying we were all in for all of you. He's saying we didn't leave anybody out. He said if somebody's come and they've been added to the church after we left, we may not have been there when they got saved, but we started the work. We're just as in with them. We pray for them in the new converts just as much as we pray for the original convert. He says, while we were there, we encouraged, we exhorted, we comforted, and we charged all of you. He's saying, to this day, this letter is not just to the ones that were there when I was there, it's for everybody. Everybody. Yeah, but he didn't just exhort, he comforted. He says, I know that you guys have hard times. You can find that they've endured the treatment very similar to what the Jews have endured back in Jerusalem. They've had ridicule. They've had chastisement. They've had admonishment. They've been persecuted. And the Apostle Paul says that they've been persecuted as much as anybody has been persecuted at Thessalonica. But he says they've just kept on keeping on. He says your love of God is greater than your fear of man. But he's saying we've comforted you. He says I know what it's like to hurt for doing the right thing. He says we comforted you when you hurt for doing the right thing. But then he also says, and we charge you. He says, we left you something to do. There was something to be done when we left. It didn't end when I left. He said, the gospel still had to get out. He said, when I left, God said, they're ready to do it without you, Paul. So tell them what I told everybody else. Go ye in all the world. First to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. Preach unto every creature the gospel, Jesus. He's saying, that's same charge that I've got, it's the one that you guys got. But then notice how he did all of those things. As a father doth his children. He's saying, I didn't do this as a harsh taskmaster. He's saying, I didn't delegate your time every day and tell you what you had to do. But we've already covered that he gave part of his soul to each and every one of them that he preached to, that he taught to, that he trained up, that he discipled there at Thessalonica. He was saying, I wanted the best for you like a father does for his children. Now, he's not their father, although they have the same heavenly father. He's not the one that birthed them into the family of God, but we do find that when he wrote Timothy, that Timothy was his son in the faith. Apostle Paul wasn't married. He didn't have physical children, but he's saying, I invested so much of myself in those that did get saved. I love them just as much as I love anybody. He's saying, I've got the love of God in me now, and God loves them like a son. I'm striving to love them just as much as God does, which means that they're my children in the faith. He was saying, I sacrificed through love for you. He was saying, God would put it in me, and I'd give not just what God had put it, everything that I had. The Apostle Paul, after all, did write that with as much as in me is, that's how he would serve God. He's saying, whatever God put in me, I dumped it all out. I poured myself empty. Amen. When I took my vessel and gave you what God gave me, I didn't hold anything back. Amen. Why? Because he wanted the best for them, just like a father wants the best for his children. Then in verse number 12, that ye should walk worthy of God, he's saying it's all worth it. All the exhortation, all the compassion, because some having compassion do make a difference. All the comforting, the charge that I gave you, everything that I poured out, it's all worth it if you walk worthy of God. After all, the Apostle Paul was the one that wrote that he prayed that every man would possess his vessel in honor before God. It's one thing to have a cup. It's one thing to have a cup that's ready to be used and worthy to be used of God. God can use any cup, but it's one thing when his children say, Lord, I've worked on this cup. I know I'm not holy, but I've tried to be holy because you're holy. And Lord, I know that I'm robed in your righteousness. I've made myself available. Lord, I've tried to do everything that you did because I want to be a vessel worthy in honor for you to use. If we sanctify ourselves for God, He will use us. But it's one thing to be a vessel, it's another thing to be that vessel that's worthy of God. Not worthy because I'm anything, worthy because He's everything. And now He lives in me. He's saying, if you walked worthy of God, it's worth it. I have no sad tale to tell. No telling the ridicule and the treatment that the Apostle Paul received once he got to Thessalonica. People trying to run him out of town like they tried to run him out of town in Philippi. No telling what he endured, but he's saying it was all worth it as long as you walk after God. Not half-heartedly, but worthy of God. Okay, then, next part of verse number 12. Who hath called you unto his kingdom and his glory? He says, you should walk worthy of him, not of me, not of any man else, because he called you, he picked you. Okay, and I believe it was chapter number 1, verse number 4, he talks about knowing their election. That doesn't mean that God picked you at some point in the past. He didn't look at every man like we make elections nowadays and say, we think that's the best candidate. Okay, the word election literally means to pick out from a crowd. The Apostle Paul is saying, God picked you out of everybody. He may have picked more than one. He may have picked a church full. But He specifically, individually picked you on the day you got saved. He was saying, knowing that God picked you, in verse number 12 of chapter number 12, or verse number 12 of chapter number 2, he says, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory? He picked you for his kingdom and for his glory. You should walk worthy after him. But he's saying, I gave everything that I had so that you would go out and give everything that you had for his kingdom and his glory. We find a purpose. God didn't save us just to forget us or to leave us. We've taught on that before. Why would he promise that he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother that will never leave us nor forsake us if he wanted to save us and then forget about us? Right? If God would save us, and then as some people think that God has, you know, left them alone, then you believe God's a liar. Said that he'd never leave you nor forsake you. That he's always there. He indwells you through the Holy Ghost. He's closer to you than anybody else could ever get to you. He's saying God saved us for his kingdom and his glory. He knows we can't do it on our own. So of course he would help us. If we're willing to walk worthy after his calling. Didn't Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter number 5 that we should let our light so shine that men see our good deeds and glorify our Father which is in heaven? I walk worthy after God so God gets the glory. I walk worthy after God so that his kingdom has riches laid up for all of eternity. I'm not worried about wood, hay, and stubble. I want that gold, silver, and precious gems that God's concerned about laying up in heaven. Not worried about the temporal, I'm worried about the eternal. Okay, then, verse number 13, for this cause we thank God also. He's saying, we just keep praising God because of the people down in Thessalonica, for you Thessalonians. He says, we thank God also without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Okay, he's saying, we thank God for three things. One, that you received the word. It says, we thank God all the time that some of y'all got in. Some of y'all got saved. Okay, then he says, we also praise God because after you received the word, you didn't receive it as if it was a pastor preaching or a missionary preaching. You received it as it is in truth, the word of God. He was saying, I know that when you guys get this letter, you're going to treat it as if God wrote you the letter, because he did. He was saying, you're all in, but you're not goats, you're sheep. You're willing to follow. You understand that God uses people, because Jesus, back up in heaven at this point, seated at the right hand of the Father, Jesus chose men to take the gospel to other men. Okay, he's saying, you guys understood that. And you saw enough of God in us that you believed we were telling you what God wanted you to hear. He was saying, you weren't one of them crowds that says, well, yeah, but he's just preaching what he thinks. You weren't one of them crowds that says, well, I don't have to do everything that he said, do I? I mean, after all, he's just human. I may be human, But this is the same as the day that Paul pinned it down. God, the one who wrote it, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's saying, I may have faults, I may have bad days. There are days that I may be in jail, but he's saying that doesn't faze you, because when you received the word, you understood it was the word of God. You believed in the one who sent Paul, you didn't just believe in Paul. He's saying, we praise God for that. You saw past the man and saw the man's God, the one that saved the man, that sent the man to you. But then, the third thing that he praises God for, which effectually, referring to the word that they had received, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. He's saying you receive the word as the word of God, and because you received it as the word of God, that word effectually worketh also in you that believe. He was saying, because you treated the word right, that word is now working in you. Okay, now that word effectually, when I was studying out, first verse that came to my head where you find the same word, that the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay, this word does not mean effective. Sounds very similar. It's very close, but it's not the same thing. Effective means that you made an impact. Effectual or effectually means that whatever it is has the power to get the job done. That it has enough to ensure that the desired outcome is reached. Now, it's not saying that I'm effectual. Okay, let's go back to the effectual prayer of a righteous man. Well, I know that my prayers are carried to heaven, but I know that my prayers are prayed through my mediator between me and God. That's Christ Jesus. I know that sometimes I can't even pray, and the Holy Ghost takes those moanings and utterings that no man can understand and takes those to Jesus, and Jesus prays those to the Father for me. I'm not the one that has the effectual prayer, but he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He feels the way that we feel sometimes. He has felt that way when he walked on the earth. He understands even more than I understand, because he's God. He knows all. And when I can't pray the way that I need to pray because my flesh is weak, the effectual prayer of God for the righteous man availeth much. If I'm so serious about it that I'm taking the time, I'm sacrificing the sleep to do it, my diligence, my faithfulness, my sincerity before God, that's what moves the heart of God. But it's not my prayer that has the power. It's the prayer that Jesus is praying to the Father that has all the power. But if I get close enough to God that I can move the heart of God, that righteous man, as I'm praying, my prayer doesn't have any power, but I know the one who does, and that's who I'm praying to. Amen. So in this verse, I'm not the one that has the power again. The word that I've received has the power. But what's the intended effect, which effectually worketh also in you that believe? He's saying, you received the word, you don't need Paul no more. God needed Paul because Paul still had to write some letters for the Bible. God needed Paul because Paul still had to go and play in other churches. Paul still had to go and eventually stand before Caesar. Tell Caesar. Had to go stand before Agrippa. Agrippa almost got in. He's saying, almost didn't get Agrippa anywhere. He said, you received the word, and now the word can effectually work in you. He was saying, first you received it, then you treated it as it was, as the word of God. And now the word can do a work through you. Okay? So with that in mind, we just want to teach for a few minutes on effectual Christians. Effectual Christians. Now, in order to be an effectual Christian, that means I'm not the one That's relying upon myself, on anybody else. The Word does the work. Okay, it starts with, just as the Apostle Paul tells these people, we don't treat this as a book. We don't treat this as a compilation of people's opinions. We don't treat this as the world does, which is something that can be manipulated or changed or revised. No, this is forever settled in heaven. God has exalted this above His own name. Half of it hadn't even been told yet. I'm kind of looking forward to reading the other half. I kind of enjoyed the first half. Right, but this, not up for discussion, not up for debate. When I received this, it did something for me that I couldn't do. Did something for me that no man could do. Did something for me because it is the Word of God. Jesus was the Word made flesh. This is what Jesus left behind of Himself for me, for you. So if I treat it as the Word of God, when I am exhorted or comforted or charged by my pastor to do or to look at myself or to reflect, whatever it is that's received from behind the pulpit from God's under shepherd, I treat it as the direction of God, because I take it that seriously. Because God laid on His heart, just like God laid on the Apostle Paul's heart as he preached to them Thessalonians, now that man's preaching to me from what whoever it was that wrote it down, because God told him to write it down. How do you think these churches operated after Paul left? When they would get a letter from the Apostle Paul, they'd say, all right, this week we're going to look back in paragraph number 3 or whatever it was of the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote us. I've been reading it this week at our house, and God showed me this out of it. Here's what God told me, wanted me to share with you guys. Well, what's preaching nowadays? God laid this on my heart from His Word, that this is what you need to hear. I'm not the one that did the message. Some people, like at work camp last night, had a few guys come up and say, hey, thanks for that, I really needed it. I didn't do it. I appreciate it, but don't thank me for it. I didn't pin it. I didn't give the thought to myself. I didn't give myself the boldness, as the Apostle Paul wrote so many times, to get up and give it to you the way that God wanted you to hear it. It's all them. But what he's, if I treat it right, then it can effectually work in me. An effectual Christian is not someone that off and on receives the Word. Aren't we supposed to receive the whole counsel of God? Aren't we supposed to seek out those 2 and 3 witnesses in the Bible so that we know it's a doctrine? So that we know it's settled? So that we know that, yeah, I am supposed to do that. How often do we go back and study out what the pastor preached and say, all right, God, what couldn't the pastor cover in 45 minutes or so? Lord, show me more. I know that I'm supposed to, but now, Lord, anchor me in it. Set me on the rock. Let's settle this thing. Let's finish the work that you started at the church house. Because the Word will do a work if we allow it to. An effectual Christian isn't somebody that does it through themselves. The arm of flesh will fail us. Man cannot serve two masters. If you're doing it for some other reason than God and His kingdom and His glory, as we talked about in verse number 12, then God's not going to help you in doing it. Because if you're doing it for some other reason, you're doing it in yourself. And a man cannot serve, you're either serving God or you're serving something else. There's no degrees there. Just like there's no degree on whether it's holy or sin. Sin is sin, holiness is holiness. There's no gray. There's no gray in serving two masters. You're either all in or you're all out. No in between. Somebody that's all in receives the Word the way it's supposed to, so that the Word can work in them. Now it effectually worketh also in you that believe. Verse number 13 tells us. The Word has the power that it takes to accomplish what it is that God wants it to do in you. That's what effectual means. An effectual Christian is someone who goes through the whole process that the Word wants them to. Where in here do you find that we get to the point where we can stop walking? Where in here do you find it? If you get spiritual enough, you can walk outside the hedge of God. I find if you break the hedge, that's the one that the serpent bites. I find that I'm supposed to make up the hedge, that I'm supposed to stand in the gaps so that the serpent can't get in to the garden. I'm supposed to do what I can to make sure that others don't fall victim to the gaps in the hedge. Yeah, Satan's crafty. He's working, but the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church of the living God. He can't win, but every now and then people will let us down. We got to stand in the hedge, stand in the gap, make up the hedge. I remember that one time Brother Sidney Weaver preached on thunder and lightning, because those were his football calls. Thunder was they'd go into the gap, lightning was they'd go the other way, they'd try and, you know, shoot around the hedge. He said, every now and then, God just calls thunder and lightning. Stand here for a while. And having done all to stand, stand there for. Why do people do that? Because the word has done a work in them. I can't stand in the hedge if I haven't received the word. I can't even go out and do what God would have me to do. It may be the will of God, but I got to do it the way that God wants me to do it. I can't go out, even though I may have all the zeal. And as we kind of hinted at in the devotion on Wednesday, I can have all the want to, but unless I'm prepared to, when I get out there, I'm going to get burnt. Just like Jordan did kayaking in Haiti. But if you go out unprepared, you're going to get hurt. If you're unprepared, that hurt might be enough to pull you out. God didn't let you down. Although you'll think that he did. But the word didn't do the work for you to go out and be able to do what God wanted you to do. An effectual working is one that it's going to take a little bit of time. It's going to take effort. I'm supposed to put on the whole armor of God. I'm supposed to take with me the shield of faith. I'm supposed to let the word, the sharp two-edged sword, do the work. I'm supposed to take the word to him. I'm not the one that's wielding the sword. That's the Holy Ghost. I'm supposed to take to them what God wants them to hear, trusting that God's going to be the one that does the work. And while I'm there, I've got to be able to stand. And having done all to stand, just like one of David's mighty men whose hand cleaved to the sword, that means he held to it so tight that by the time his muscles started cramping, by the time all the strength in the rest of his body had left him, his hand was solid around that. Nobody could have taken his hand. His hand, it would have taken more effort to remove it than it did for him to originally cling to it. It meant that that hand thought that the sword was now a part of it. That's what it meant. That's the way that I'm supposed to cling to the Word of God. Nobody can take it out of my hand, because God put it there and I'm not letting it go. Amen. That effectual person is one that put on the whole armor of God. I'm supposed to take with me the shield of faith. Now, I don't know if I've mentioned this here before. God showed me this one time. I may have done it over at the work camp. I may have preached that. I can't remember when. But God said, bring it up again. It does say that with the shield of faith, we'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the devil. Okay? It says dart. Doesn't say one of them ballista arrows. If you've ever seen them things that I'm talking about, those are the ones that are about that big around, out of the big crossbows that they shoot at people. Not one of them. A dart. As Christian, darts don't kill you. I may have hit him in the arm with one in the front yard one time, but it didn't kill him. All right? I blame Grandma Donna, who bought us a dartboard with real darts, and we took it out in the front yard, and then he got too close to it while I was throwing. Yeah, I should have been a better aim, but he should have been smarter. Okay? But the dart didn't kill him. The dart is what... It's not what the devil is intending to do the damage with us. It's that fire. And let's be honest. If I've got the whole armor of God on behind the shield of faith, shield of faith, there's none there. That's why it's called faith. There may be a frame, but there's nothing in there that the world can see on. Well, how's that going to stop anything? But my faith can take the fire out of the dark. The fire won't burn me, and if I've got a breastplate of righteousness on, if I've got my loins girded with truth, if I've got my feet shod with the preparation of peace, if I've got the helmet of salvation on, what's it going to hit? It's a dart. So what if it gets me in the arm? Ask Christian. He lived. So what if it gets me in the shin? Right? All the important things are covered. It can't do damage. It's a dart. Because the fire's gone. Devil knows the dart's not going to do that much damage, even if I'm not wearing the armor. But he knows that if he can burn me, I'll remember that. An effectual Christian is one that has let God do the work through them, through the Word. It's got the power to turn me into what God wants to turn me into, if I let it do the work. God didn't save us and then say the next day, all right, I'm sending you to Australia. You're going to be a missionary. No. Why? Because he hadn't done the work in you yet. He's completed the work of salvation. But I do find I'm supposed to be Christ-like. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That mind doesn't happen overnight. That takes time. He made me a king and a priest, but a king's got to learn how to rule and reign over this flesh. A priest doesn't pray the first time with such power that God sends fire from heaven. Okay? Ask Elijah how many times he had to pray. And in all honesty, he'd probably say zero, because God never told him to pray fire down from heaven before. He'd say, I did it once because God told me to, and God sent the fire. I didn't pray down the fire. That's a man whose the Word of God is made of work. And because it's an effectual work, I'm not the one that's effectual. But if I get me out of the way, the effectual Word can do the work in me so that I also can be effectual in my ministry. He's got all the power. He's got all the ability to turn me into what it is that he wants me to turn me into if I'm willing to let the Word, which also has the power with the washing of the Word, with that water that erodes away the things that he doesn't like, turns me into one of them smooth stones that was in the shepherd's bag that David took and slew Goliath with. There were four stones that didn't get used, but they were willing to be used to God. In that case, David. I may just be a stone in the pouch, but if that's what God wants me to be, I'll be there. If God tells me to be a smooth stone, or if God tells me to be the sling, or if God tells me to be whatever it is, an effectual Christian says, I'll be what he wants me to be, and I'll make myself available. How many stones were left in the river? Because they weren't smooth enough? Or because they weren't the right size? Or because they weren't what David was looking for in a smooth stone that he knew would fly straight when he let go of the sling? An effectual Christian is the one that conforms to what the Word wants them to be. But then, lastly, I'm trying to get done early again this week. I say an effectual Christian is one that keeps returning to the Word. Why did the Apostle Paul write a letter to the church of Thessalonica? Because one, he knew that they needed it. Two, he knew that they would receive it. He's writing to them and saying, God told me to tell you something else, and I was excited because I knew that you would receive it as the Word of God. It may be something that you thought you've had down. Can't tell you how many times I've gone back and read something that I thought I already knew, only to find something different. Why? Because that's how God is. That's how the Word is. It's effectual. It's got the power to show me whatever it wants to see, wants me to see out of it. Amen. May use a verse that I've read before 100 times. May use a verse that I've read before once. May bring back to my remembrance something that I read a long time ago. But he says, because it's effectual, the Word left an impact. There's something there that you remember, and I'm going to use that. We got to keep returning. Why? Because if I try to do it without the Word, the Word's a glass. It tells me the truth. Shows me who I am. Shows me what God wants to change, what God wants to improve on. Sometimes he wants to exhort me to continue to do. Sometimes he's comforting me as my Heavenly Father. Sometimes he's charging me. Sometimes he's admonishing me. Sometimes he's correcting me. But all the time, he's still working on me. When I leave the Word out, I lose all of my effectualness. And yes, I checked. It's a Word. It was right under effectual, which was right under effectually, which was right under effectual when I looked it up. Because I'm not the one that has the power to ensure that it is done. If you go back into verse number 5 of chapter number 1, you'll find that the Apostle Paul said, when we showed up and we gave you the Word of God, it didn't come in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. He was saying, I gave you the words that God wanted me to tell you, but the reason that you guys received this is because it showed up in power and with the Holy Ghost. I don't have two of those things. In all honesty, we don't have the words to take them unless God gives them to us. But even if we tried to take the gospel to them, I don't have the power. I have the Holy Ghost in here, but I don't command them. We're commanded not to grieve him and not to quench him. That's because we don't have power over him. Get out of the way when the Holy Ghost is moving. Let him do what he's supposed to do. And if you're in the way, get out of the way by getting on your knees. Address whatever it is that he's talking to you about. But he's saying, if you want to be effectual when you take the word to people, you don't have the power. You're not the one that can speak to the heart of man. You're not the one that can do the work, but you have received the effectual word, and when the word works itself out of you, you can become an effectual Christian for God. What's an effectual Christian? Someone that is able to do what God wants them to do. They don't have the power to do the work, but they know this is what God told me to do. I can do it. They're one that can ensure the outcome that God wants them to affect. Now think, an employee of a company can't make it into a Fortune 500 company, can't make the value of the stock go up or down on the stock market. They're just one employee. But if they know that they're supposed to do a job and they do their job the way that they know the company wants them to do their job, they've done all that they can do. They have become effectual. They were able to ensure the outcome in their respect. They can't control anybody else, but they can do what it is they know that they're supposed to do. Each of us have that choice as a Christian. Either I do what God wants me to do or I don't. Either I do it with everything that I've got, just like he said that he praised God for with him, or why do it at all? He's saying, when we gave you the word, you saw that it was God doing it because he showed up in power. He gave us some boldness, but you saw there was power behind us. You felt the moving, you felt the conviction of the Holy Ghost. He's the one that started the work. He'll finish it if you allow him to. An effectual Christian is one that just says, God, I know this is what you told me to do. I know that here's how I can do it. I did it with everything I've got. And now you, the one that gave the word power, because he is the word, the one that gave me power, because he's my Father in heaven and I've been made an heir to the King. Because you have all the power, I know that you can do it. But I also know that you instructed me to do my part, and I'll have faith that you do the rest. Because why would he tell us to do it unless he wanted to finish it? He didn't send the Apostle Paul to preach at Thessalonica because he knew that nobody there would hear. He knew there would be a church there. Why did he send him to Philippi to be beaten, thrown into prison? Well, yeah, but he sent him there so that that could happen, so that they could meet a Philippian jailer, so that a great church could be started in Philippi. Amen. The Apostle Paul just said, I don't know why it's all happening, but I know it's because God ordained it. He's got a reason. We'll just pray and praise him anyway. Either we'll get out of this or we won't. But either way, he's still God. I'll do my part and be an effectual Christian. Ensure what I can ensure. All that I can ensure is that I'm walking after God and doing exactly what he wants me to do. But an effectual Christian will take the word of God to those that need to hear it, because they're obeying God and they'll take the word wherever he tells them to. And then the word can show up in power and with the Holy Spirit, because the word did a work in them before they took the word. It may not be a message, it may be a tract, it may just be a conversation on the workplace. But if you say what it is God wants you to say, he can show up in power with the Holy Ghost and do what we cannot. But in order to do it, I got to be where I'm supposed to be. I got to do what I'm supposed to do. The Word can't be where it's supposed to be if we don't take it. But once it's there, it'll do what it's supposed to do. Because it's an effectual Word. An effectual Christian takes the effectual Word where it needs to go.